It is the Freak Show. Wow 94.1 Bay's Party Station. We have a guest in here today who's going to make us a little smarter. We put out an APB on him.
Yeah, we did.
And he is here. Chad Cronister, our Hillsborough County Sheriff. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, everyone. And what a privilege it is to be here. I can't believe in all the years. This is my first 28 years and it took me to get in here.
You know, we talk about you a lot because every time Titus is in here, it swings around to you a part of his story. And you know, like you've known him a long time.
Yeah, what a difference making our community. And, you know, he's family to us.
Yeah.
And to be able to see what he's doing and even be a small part of what he accomplishes. I mean, that's what makes our community so special. When you talk about Tampa Bay and crime rate being low, you know, I always have to throw the crime rate in there because I'm selfish when it comes to keeping people safe. But, you know, it's individuals like that that are difference makers and that you're building stronger kids.
Yeah.
You know, you're building a stronger community. There's no surprise why it's a safer community.
Well, I love it. And I love the fact that I saw you when first of all, the reason we called
It's
because
it's important.
We are out here translating these marijuana rules to everybody because the potheads are listening.
Right.
And so we were like, okay, now everybody is on a unified front. It's not any wiggle room. Everybody's on an even playing field is kind of how the way you described it.
Most important thing when it comes to marijuana enforcement now is the fact that it's fair and equitable anywhere you go in Hillsborough County. So it doesn't make a difference on if you're on the campus of USF, Temple Terrace, Plant City, in the city, at the airport, out in unincorporated county. It's all the same.
And it's unanimous from the whole board. They were
unanimous.
Was that surprising to you? Because it's been such a divided issue for such a long time.
No, I don't think so. I think that our Hillsborough County Commission, the board has become very progressive and bold. And this wasn't surprising to me when I reached out to the chair and said, hey, this is what I think we need to do. It's a better utilization of law enforcement resources. It's the right thing to do for here's a long list of reasons. Everybody was on board. I talked to most of the commissioners, and it was phenomenal how supportive everybody was.
Wow. That's incredible. And that's the thing says small amount,
right?
Okay.
What small amount?
I think we need to clarify. This isn't, hey, fill the trunk up. We're good to go. Let's roll out.
Like, there's a couple guys out there like, how much?
Yeah.
Small amount.
Okay.
This is personal
grams.
Amounts. You know, less than 20 grams. That's the personal amount.
Less than 20 grams. And Davi, 20 grams is...
Is what?
How big?
It's
come
enough.
On.
Yeah, the sheriff,
right?
Sheriff is
enough.
Watching you. How
yeah,
big?
Yeah, it's enough.
I think we talked about before it was like a sandwich bag almost.
Yeah. So if you, I think if you're prolific, you know, if you're buying fruit, you know how many oranges are in a pound.
Yes.
So if this is your world, small amount, people. No briefcases, movie type stuff, nothing. Or you going to the popo.
Do you look at other counties and other places that have followed something like this and kind of see how this not only affects like the drug and marijuana arrests, but also other crime statistics?
Absolutely, 100%. I hated the fact that we were putting too many people in jail for misdemeanor amounts of marijuana, especially this next generation, that this culture. And right or wrong, it doesn't matter what you believe in or what you don't. I leave that up to everyone's personal opinions. But what do they say? Hey, it's no different than drinking a beer. What's the difference? So I believe there should be some accountability until the voters and legislators decide, hey, listen, it's legal here in Florida. But you absolutely have to take a look and see the impact that this has. And there's too many people going to jail that are being saddled with a criminal history that can't get a job because of a misdemeanor amounts of marijuana. And then we sit back and wonder why we're not thriving as a community. That's not hard to figure out. But I tell you what, we talk about the personal amounts. We were joking, but you talk about 20 grams in personal amounts. Even in places, Colorado, Washington, and California, I looked and was looking at the different legalizations, and even they have anything above 20 grams, even if it's legal, anything over 20 grams in those three states where it's legalized is a
it's
felony.
It's still a problem.
It's still a felony.
Oh, wow.
So it's still enforceable. So, hey, listen, you have your personal amounts. That's legal. But you get that at 21, 22 grams, it's a felony arrest in any of those states.
Mm. Right. And it really puts it in perspective the way that the sheriff's office and really the world has changed over
Absolutely.
The year. And you guys have done some things that are incredible about kind of bringing this force into the community even more and having it a little bit more representative. So we want to talk about that as well. So we'll take a break here and we'll hit up some Raw Wave and come back with Sheriff Chad Cronister on what's going on with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, because I think it's dope. I grew up around law enforcement, and this is something that I was always told. I was told if you know law enforcement, you can trust law enforcement. And I always grew up with Officer Bandy, five houses down this way. Deputy Turner, four houses down this way. Yeah. So I just knew that was Grant's dad. You know, they were family members and stuff. So when you grow up around that, you treat it differently. So my relationship with the sheriff's office and with Chief Dugan at the police department is always indicative of that. So I like to point that out because some kids need to see us have this camaraderie and kind of this joking.
You're 100% correct. You have to humanize law enforcement. They've been demonized in the media, the few that have used excessive force or made bad mistakes, made just outright outlandish mistakes.
Right.
But it's not indicative of all of law enforcement. And so I think when you humanize law enforcement, you get that engagement, and there's trust through transparency that's built. Social media, being out in the community at all the different events. When you humanize law enforcement and you build a relationship, what do you build? What's the most important thing that comes out of a relationship?
Yeah.
Trust.
Right. Growth and trust.
Trust.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's the only way you can build a relationship is just one person at a time. There's no magic recipe.
I love it. We'll talk to you right after we knock this out and find out how you might even may be able to join the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
Wow.
We are in here with Sheriff Chad Cronister from Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. Meredith was just asking. Now, we're asking for a little bit of specificity on what happens for just like real time.
Right. Violations.
Someone's in a car and they get pulled over and there's like, you know, some residue of a marijuana. Like,
well,
a clip
I called
or
it a roach.
Right.
If
whatever.
It's in my purse and I'm in trouble or something like that. You guys
just
find
don't want to sound like we too like knowledgeable about this in front of the man. You know,
no, but I think it's great to clarify. People want to know, hey, tell me a real story. How does this work?
Yeah. Right. So let's just say just a little bit of marijuana. So what's the first violation? I've never been in trouble before.
It's $100 ticket.
Okay.
So again, nothing criminal, nothing goes on your record. It's a civil infraction now.
Okay.
So you get a ticket. It's $100 ticket. You can pay the $100. Or one thing that I thought was important there, what do we do with the people who can't afford it? Do we suspend their license? And that's counterintuitive to what we're trying to accomplish
now
here.
They can't work. They can't do it. They fall into the trappings.
What are we doing now?
Right.
So it was counterintuitive to everything that I wanted to accomplish with the county commission. So now you can go and do community service at a rate of $12.50 an hour and pay your fine that way. So it doesn't burden the already financially burdened individuals.
Wow. And I like that. And you know, it's because they still don't get a record. And then you said, and if they have an issue where they get caught again, then it escalates to them maybe getting more treatment.
Even the third
time. And they
still don't get a record. So even the second time, the third time and fourth time, they have to enroll in some type of treatment program. It could be a video maybe online that they have to watch. But once again, the fine goes up incrementally. But you said the most important factor, there's still no criminal record.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Great.
We're not punishing individuals for small amounts of marijuana. We're holding them accountable, which
right.
I think's fine. But let's be smart when it comes to enforcement. Locking people up for misdemeanor amounts of marijuana isn't keeping our community safe. I'm not sitting here standing tall, pounding my chest as the sheriff said, hey, we're keeping our community safe. We're locking all these weed heads up. That's counterintuitive. Once again, that's not going to affect the crime rate.
I have a question. When a vote like this is decided to, you know, change something, what happens to people that are currently incarcerated for those same amounts of marijuana?
Great question, but it's only from the effective date moving forward.
Okay, so there's nothing that can
happen. So that's March 1st moving forward.
Exactly, March 1st moving forward.
Okay.
Now, you have made some changes to evolve the HCSO into more of the community by making it palatable to be a member of your office by changing some rules like tattoo policy, like marijuana usage in the past and education. Talk about why you made these changes under your tutelage.
Well, you said it perfectly, and you brought up the word evolving. And you have to evolve. You know, society is evolving at a blistering pace. As a law enforcement agency, you have to evolve along with it. You're going to be antiquated. And when I took over sheriff, I thought that the sheriff's office became antiquated in their line of thinking of who they're going to hire. You know, no marijuana use in 3 years. Well, how about a year? You know, if you had a tattoo, you couldn't get hired with the sheriff's office.
Yeah, it was a long time, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, I could see 20 years ago, you know, who had tattoos. They were gang members. I get it. But now look, you know, military members. We were disqualifying some of the most eligible candidates because of tattoos.
Yep. Well,
right. That didn't make sense to me. So along with the education, you had to have a four-year degree. Listen, we're going to teach you everything you need to know about being a law enforcement officer. But when we knew we wanted to make it a priority to have our workforce that reflects the community that we serve, the people who suffer not being able to afford going to college and getting education is the minority population. Mm-hmm. You have to have a workforce, again, that reflects the community. He or she looks like me. They speak the same language. They have the color.
They went to my school.
So you had to remove obstacles. And it's worked. We hired over double what we hired the year before.
Oh, wow.
And our diversity rate over the past 2.5 years is at 58.9%.
Wow.
So it's working. I'm happy. And again, I think once again, that makes us more effective as a law enforcement agency. You said it earlier. You know, you viewed law enforcement as your two neighbors.
Right.
It was humanized. You got to see these individuals. You got to know them. That trust was being built. It's no different now.
Yeah. I saw something that you guys posted up regarding going back into the neighborhood. It was kind of like a beat situation. Yes. Because that was an important thing. When people kept talking about policing, they were like getting these officers in the community, watching them, whether playing basketball against somebody or just watching kids ball. I saw you dance against some of the kids at Sly Middle.
It was so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
You had some moves.
My poor wife, I didn't know she was going to go home with me that night.
She's like, we got to get you some dance lessons. Yeah. Right? But you know, but it's great for kids to see that, because when we speak at schools and we talk about, you know, when something happens at home, you don't call your homies, you call law enforcement. You have to have some sort of trust in it. So being able to do that is really good luck.
I have a couple of questions that are coming in on our text line. What about any stipulations on medical marijuana?
Medical marijuana is still...
still illegal.
Yeah, but if you have a medical marijuana card and you're recognized, there wouldn't be a ticket. You're in legal possession.
You're totally fine to have that.
You're in legal possession of marijuana. These are for the 99.9% of individuals who don't have their medical marijuana card.
And it's still rulings on you can, like, operate a vehicle during that. I mean, there's rules within the card.
Yes.
So then you still got to follow your rules
and
of the card.
And also, if you get caught with less than 20 grams... Are they taking your bag or just writing your ticket?
Yes, we are confiscating whatever we have.
Welcome to our audience.
We're not giving you a ticket. That's a great question. I've been asked that before. Well, hey, listen, you're going to give me my $100 fine, but I get to keep my weed, right? And I'm like, no, that's not quite how it works. We're not turning a blind eye here. Like I said, just changing the way we enforce it.
But
getting back to what you were talking about, being out in the community, and it's our program that we implemented called Walk It Like You Talk It.
Yes.
And back, like you said, you knew growing up who your neighbors were, and you got to know law enforcement, and that trust was there. And you became a fan because you became a fan of them. You loved the sheriff's office or loved the city of Tampa because you loved those two individuals. That was the sheriff's office of the Tampa Police Department to you. Well, with us having such a busy world now and everyone in a car and going 100 miles an hour, most of us don't even know our neighbors.
Right.
So I thought it was important to get back to the basics. Get out of the car. You don't arrest anyone. We're not patting anyone down. We're not doing that. Just get out and know the community that you serve. Yeah. You know the good guys. You know the bad guys. But how about the at-risk youth that you don't know, that maybe we could steer different directions and a different path? And again, it's all about taking this holistic approach, a more preventative approach. The days of, hey, listen, we're law enforcement, we're going to lock everybody up. When I started back in the height of the crack cocaine era, it didn't work. We put everyone in jail. And we couldn't understand why we still had a problem. You know, now it's not just being tough on crime. It's being smart on crime. Mm-hmm. Being smarter on how we deploy our resources and being out and being more preventative and taking this more holistic approach. And it's working. It's working. Crime's gone down 2 years in a row. And that's our report card. Can you do these programs and be more preventative? And crime go down. And 2 years ago, it was 10.2%, now just under 11%. So with 150 people a day moving to Hillsborough County, the sheer volume of numbers alone, our crime rate should be going up. So for it going the opposite way, it's working.
That's a good look. I like that.
Mr.
Like
Sheriff, that. How does the change in marijuana...
Mr. Sheriff.
Oh, yeah. We're polite here.
Can you tell he's nervous around police?
I'm going to raise my hand over here in the corner. No, but with the change of marijuana laws, how does that affect the enforcement of driving under the influence?
It's still the same. You still can't be impaired, and you can be impaired whether you're taking pain medication, alcohol, marijuana. Being impaired is being impaired.
But as far as like the testing, like if you get pulled over, they give you a breathalyzer to see if you've been drinking. How does that translate into marijuana?
marijuana, you go into taking a urine test or blood work. Mm. But there's drug recognition experts that we have sent to training that can come and see that you're impaired, not under alcohol, but under some type of other means. But you bring up a great point. There's no set standard. So if you're saying that you're under an influence of alcohol, we've come up this national standard, 0.08 or above, you're driving while impaired. Well, what's the concentration level in blood for marijuana?
Right.
There is
right.
no set mm-hmm. standard. So I think that's going to come with more states legalizing marijuana. They're going to have to come up with some type of enforcement. I know that's a problem out in Colorado, Washington, and in California is impaired drivers. And they're trying to figure it out, too. And they're going to have to come up with some nationally recognized, okay, you take a urine test, your concentration is, and I'm just, 0.35 or whatever mm-hmm. the concentration may be. Hey, you're impaired. But right now there is no set standard. You can say you're impaired, but it'd be a tough one to win in court, I would think, because where's the standard?
Yeah. Mm.
Well, now, I wanted to ask you before we wrapped, social media has changed from me seeing the sheriff's office under Cal Henderson, under David G, and now seeing you guys. So, I mean, the Walk It Like You Talk It, promotion. I saw one of the Depps fold someone's flag that fell, and I had to share that because it was just, and it was a quiet video, but it was just so dope, the reverence for it. Like, hey, and a note left, like, hey, this was down, and it was treated with the care that it's supposed to be treated at, for Old Glory. And to see that, talk about how social media and your usage of it has changed the way that you police now.
Yeah, absolutely. Game changer. We encourage people. Before, they used to get in trouble if they filmed something or sent a picture or snapped something, they got in trouble. And it's like, no, we're going a different direction. I think we do so many great things as a 4,000-member law enforcement agency, but no one knows about it. It's right. like, put it out there. Now, part of putting it out there is the bad stuff, too. If we have a deputy that gets arrested for DUI or does something foolish, we put it out there, And again, what it goes back to accountability and transparency. The more transparent you are, the more accountable you are, you build that trust. It's okay to make a mistake. We all sit here and we can talk to callers all day long about people who made a mistake. It's okay. It's the ones who don't acknowledge the mistake that you have an issue with.
Yeah.
So, you have 4,000 employees. You're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. But it's putting it out there. So you're exactly right. We've hired 4 public affairs officers. Oh. We've hired 2 social media individuals, 2 people that have camera experience, and we put everything out. And again, it's just being more engaged. If it's a public service announcement, it's someone doing something out in the community, we're out there. Just people never knew about it. So when you talk about game changer, it is a game changer. And we use it, again, to build trust.
Yeah,
build those relationships, Orlando.
I share it because, I just like the fact that some people are like, hey, man, I saw that on your page because I don't follow the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. I think they're watching me.
The owner of that Chevy dealership called me and was almost in tears because that meant so much to him.
Yeah. The way it was treated, everybody, you can just tell, it was a lot of respect in that because the flag isn't supposed to touch the ground. And so they noticed that as an issue that they had to rectify, and I thought that was dope.
If I get pulled over.
It was moving.
If I get pulled over, can I say, you're my uncle.
Yeah. I tell people all the time when they ask for a picture, I said, heck yeah, let's take a picture. First thing I would do, get pulled over. Hey, listen, here's my boy right here.
I know I'm right here.
My boy. You don't
it's
want
on
him.
My phone.
You don't want to work on midnight special. You're like, dude, this is my boy.
Sheriff, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you suffering fools and coming in here and joining the Freak Show.
Absolute privilege. Thanks for the invitation. Anytime.
You.
Let's do it again.
All right, definitely. We're awesome. Going to welcome you back. All right, Sheriff Chad Cronister in the building.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.